Welcome to the NCO Journal podcast. I'm Staff Sergeant Alan Brutus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Sergeant Major Travis Votaw, currently assigned to the U.S. Army Combined Arms Center here at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Sergeant Major, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
I appreciate the opportunity to discuss this great broadening opportunity program and hope to at least aid in gaining a better understanding of the Army Congressional Fellowship.
So the broadening program, you speak of the Congressional Fellowship Program. You recently wrote an article for the NCO Journal about it, discussing, you know, kind of what it is and how to get into it. But could you just take a few moments and describe really what the fellowship program is as a whole for those who maybe haven't read the article yet?
Absolutely. Similar to what I captured in the article, I quoted the FM 1202 for the Army Congressional Fellowship Program. And I'll do that again just for definition. But the purpose of the program is threefold. First, it provides outstanding commissioned officers, non-commissioned officers, and Department of the Army civilians with firsthand experience and understanding of the strategic relationships between the Army and Congress. Second, the program exposes congressional members and staff to the outstanding quality of the Army commissioned officers, NCOs, and civilians to allow them to learn about the Army as an institution through contact with Army personnel working in their office. Third, the program develops individuals for possible future selection as congressional liaisons. I will add that the ACFP offers insight into Congress that few in America are ever exposed to. It also opens the mind of members and staff who may have never interacted with a soldier before in their lives. The vast civil-military divide in this country leaves many to gain all of their understanding of the Army from a couple of commercials or possibly interaction with a recruiter at one point. Embedding a soldier into a congressional staff office for a year is eye-opening for everyone involved.
And you recently went through the entire fellowship program yourself. Can you just tell me a little bit about your experience throughout the entire program, as well as some of the things that are professional growth highlights?
It's kind of a two-part answer, if you'll allow me. The term fellow specifically points to 1 year, but the fellowship program spans 44 months. So I served as a fellow from January to December of 2016 in an Oklahoma senator's office as part of his team. And as most of us know, Fort Sill, the Fire Center of Excellence, is located there. As a scout by MOS, I have an understanding of what fires do and bring to the table. As a senior NCO, I also understand the dynamics of installations, garrison, and training facilities. I did not, however, have much understanding of the same capabilities and limitations of our sister services. So one of the roles of the defense fellow is to advise and prepare the member of Congress for inquiries, hearings, and investigations, as well as offer recommendations to them in order for the member to provide their constitutionally mandated oversight. In addition to Fort Sill, Oklahoma has three active Air Force installations, two Air National Guard bases, and a Navy flight school detachment, as well as various defense industry competitors. As a fellow in an Oklahoma office, I rapidly had to become comfortably familiar with our nation's current and projected bomber, fighter, cargo and refueling aircraft, ISR platforms, airfield maintenance, and contracting to advise the senator in his roles.
So it seems like a very big responsibility to take. Is this something you ever thought you would do in your career?
Absolutely not. And the interesting or unique perspective of this is that they only recently allowed NCOs to come into this program. The Army Congressional Fellowship Program has been around for well into 30 years, but we're only in about 7 years of having NCOs.
So with you being, I guess we'll say, one of the first NCOs going through it, how do you see your experience with the program really aiding you in being successful throughout the remainder of your military career?
So I'll use this example. As soldiers, we're all aware the pay raise that hit our accounts for the first time at the end of January, just last month. But few know what actually goes into making that a reality, how much effort and work it takes for that to truly occur. The pay raise we all saw this month is a direct result of our leaders, some more than others, honestly answering questions of senators and representatives in office calls, hearings, and other engagements throughout the year. Researching cost of living everywhere we have soldiers, listening to soldiers and their family members at town halls, looking at benefits that are actively being cut, and advocating for the soldier when asked. I say all that to remind us that Congress holds the purse strings for the Army, and the policies that we comply with largely come straight from the Hill. Understanding this, comprehending this, will aid me in my success both in my career as a soldier as well in post-Army life.
So we're going to shift a little bit, not as much about your experience in the program, but what about NCOs who are considering applying for this program? What advice would you give them, or what, you know, insight would you provide them if they were kind of on the fence?
Well, I am obviously an advocate of the program, but a firm understanding of the NCO or by the NCO that he or she will put themselves out of the normal development process of their branch for 44 months is paramount. That's a long time for us to come out of what is our normal cycle. I understand that it's a long time, but it's the requirement of the program. And for the record, I would not go back and change my participation for anything. As for building the application packet, there are two quick points I'd like to address. First, the NCO's written essay is incredibly important. And if they intend to be competitive, they should ensure that it is not only well written, but also reviewed by a few people. I cannot stress this enough. Secondly, the required letters of recommendation need to be specifically advocating the NCO for the program. And at least one, in my opinion, should be from a senior non-commissioned officer, as opposed to the officer packets are all from general officers and occasionally a colonel. In the NCO's packets, it's really important to have an NCO, a senior NCO, write a letter of recommendation for the NCO that's applying. That advocation will also add to their understanding, that senior NCO's understanding of the program, and hopefully aid in their development as well.
Along those same lines, you know, if an NCO was past the fence, they applied, they go ahead and they get accepted into the fellowship program, what advice would you give them as they're moving to Washington, D.C. to begin the entire program?
No, first and foremost, I'd encourage anyone accepted into the program to have a working knowledge of our Constitution, to kind of have a framework for what you're going to be working with, and brush up on your writing skills. The program at George Washington University is pretty demanding and requires discipline and a level of writing I had not seen often in our NCO PME. Completely achievable, but a rigor many are not used to. I would also advise an incoming fellow to start reading various reports that interest them from the Congressional Research Service, just to gain an understanding of how that process works and some of their focal areas. They're available on congress.gov and open to the public and about every topic you can imagine.
I mean, obviously, you said you're a big advocate of the program. What was the biggest satisfaction that you got out of serving as a congressional fellow?
So this, too, I'm going to have to break into two different answers. Because my time as a fellow would definitely be the fact that a very senior United States senator valued my opinion, trusted my diligent research, and relied on what I prepared when dealing with leaders on a global stage, ranging from generals to secretaries to kings. And the utilization phase of the program, the second 2 years after I came out of the actual role of being a fellow on the Hill, I served as the SMA's legislative assistant for 24 months. And my biggest satisfaction came from three programs that the SMA championed on the Hill that will have long-lasting implications for the soldiers of our Army. The Army credentialing program, the pay raises of the last two fiscal years, and annually bringing a third NCO into the program itself, whereas we had always had two for the previous 6 years. Now we're going to have three, thanks to the SMA's efforts.
Now that you've spoke, the most satisfying thing, what was it that you found most difficult throughout the entirety of the program? Was it the education at George Washington? Was it the rigorous workload while serving on the Hill, or was it working with the SMA as his liaison?
I would honestly say probably the hardest angle for me was stepping out of my comfort zone. The last 25 years, I've been an NCO and I've led troops. Walking into a role where, A, I'm in a suit, I'm not in my uniform anymore, took me out of my comfort zone. It was probably the hardest part was getting out of the comfort zone and realizing that there's completely different set of skills and twists on leadership that I had not experienced.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say about the Congressional Fellowship Program or your experience while going through the program?
I would tell you to don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone. You can keep doing the same task at separate or different levels, or you can grow by seeing something different. As NCOs, leadership's our main charge. It's a task we embrace and run with every day since Penn and Chevron's on. But rarely do we take that leadership experience and knowledge outside of traditional formations. The Army Congressional Fellowship Program affords a few NCOs per year to step outside of that comfort zone of company through nominative level leadership to advising elected leaders at the policy level. The impact that a senior NCO brings to the table and to those professionals can be phenomenal and life-changing. I can tell you from my personal experience that when our SMA goes to the Hill, members of Congress will stop him in the hall just to ask his opinion on a recent Army news story, regardless of how small it may seem to us. And they don't do that for any other reason than to get ground truth from an NCO. I'd like to end this with my favorite quote from the Hill, and it's directly related to this topic. Texas Representative Judge Carter said on a cold D.C. day in 2017, "We call generals up here all the time to testify in front of our committees on just about everything. But when I really want to know the truth, what's really going on, I call the Sergeant Major."
Well, Sergeant Major Votaw, thank you once again for writing your article for us and joining us also on the NCO Journal podcast.
It was a pleasure and my honor.
My fellow NCOs, you can join in on the conversation by following us at facebook.com/NCOjournal and on Twitter at @NCOjournal. Put your knowledge to print, submit articles, and get published through the NCO Journal. Until next time, I'm Staff Sergeant Alan Brutus.